We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Packaday Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, and happy 2024 NFL Draft Day. It is the Thursday edition of the Packaday Podcast. I am half of your Thursday crew, Jason Perrone. You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Perrone. And with me, as always, of Packer Report is Mark Eckel. And Mark, if I'm not mistaken, this is, well, for the Thursday show, it's the second year in a row that we have been fortunate enough to preview night one, day one of the NFL draft.
It's only your second? Yeah, okay. All right.
Or maybe the third. I'm losing track. You know, the years pile up fast.
Yes, they do. Very fast.
Yeah.
This is probably, let me see, my first draft I covered back in Philly was in 1985. So, do the math. This would be like, 40 drafts now, maybe?
Well, 39. 39 in years, but it's the 40th draft. 40, if you include the 85 draft. Yeah, this is the, wow, congratulations. That's big. That's big. Draft. So you've seen just a few things happen in these drafts.
Oh, I've seen crazy. And I've written this in my column back in the day, and I like the draft. I always, a lot of beat writers that cover, they dread it. Oh, the draft, it's terrible. I've always, before I covered, when I was a kid growing up watching, I go way back now because I'm old. I remember when the draft was on Tuesday morning. It started like 8 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday.
Oof.
Yeah. And I would get up, and I was never an early person, but I would get up to watch that draft. And it was all day.
Right.
It was one day. It was like 12 rounds all day.
And it wasn't on TV.
It was. No, it was on ESPN.
Oh, did they broadcast it?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Maybe at one point, I'm sure they didn't, but I'm not that old. Since I remember, it was on TV, but it started at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always in New York. It wasn't just moving around to Detroit and Chicago.
Right. It was in New York. You're right. Yep.
It was in the Felt Forum in Madison Square Garden. And there's about maybe 100 people there, most of whom were either Giants or Jets fans. and it didn't matter who the Giants or Jets took, they would boo.
They would boo. Yeah. The Jets fans are notorious for that, for sure. And then like back then, how many rounds was the draft?
Like 12.
Yeah, more than, okay.
And then I remember, you know, then it became like a 2-day thing. Mm-hmm. And then now it's 3 days and it's only 7 rounds, as we know. And it's just gotten so big. Like I know Mel Kiper. Mel used to call me to do, you know, for Eagle stuff. I'm sure he had a guy in every city, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He and I got along because like I said, I liked the draft. I cared about the draft. I'm not an NBA fan by today's standard. I'll watch it. Like, the playoffs are starting now, so I'll watch some playoff games. Not even, you know, not from start to finish, but I don't think I saw 2 minutes of an NBA regular season game this year. But a playoffs, okay, I'll watch. But I'll watch the NBA draft.
I realized, I just realized that, and I've been, honestly, basketball is very different up and down. I just realized that it's NBA playoffs, and I'm in Phoenix, the Suns fan, but I have not watched a single game from start to finish this season.
Really?
I'll be honest with you. Not to get off on a tangent here because we got a lot of draft stuff to talk about, but the Suns and the Bucks fans that are listening will love this because for some weird, strange reason, Bucks fans, even though they beat the Suns for their first championship, you'd think they would have this like kind of almost like little brotherly admiration for the Suns. No, there's this weird vitriol towards the Suns from Bucks fans. And I'll just say, like, I knew all along this team wasn't going to accomplish, you know, this big three and all that other stuff. No. So the NFL obviously has evolved very well. And then at one point, because I remember when the draft started on Saturday morning, and then they would move right from round one into round two, and it was Saturday and Sunday, it was 2 days. Then all of a sudden they were like, oh, we'll make, then now look at it. I mean, round one is today, and that's it. It's the first 32 picks of the draft, and then tomorrow will be what a lot of people, and I think you said too, I think you're more looking forward to Friday than Thursday.
As a Packer fan, yeah.
And because there's more picks, and there's a lot of stuff that they may end up doing, and those are the players that could end up being, I mean, look what they ended up getting on day two last year, Jaden Reed. Oh,
yeah, they did much better in the immediate last year. They got Reed, Musgrave,
Kraft, yep.
They got Van Ness in the first who played. He played more as the year went on, but he really wasn't. He didn't have that. He didn't have the impact that Reed, Musgrave, and Kraft had. You know.
Now, if we revisit last year to start off here, because the big question everyone has is like, you know, Brian Gutekunst spoke earlier this week to the media. The tea leaves, you know, our former co-host Paul Brennell used to love to say, "Read the tea leaves."
Yes.
Right, and if we look back to last year. Mark, and I didn't follow the draft as closely as I know that you did. You wrote a lot about it and a lot of our colleagues and stuff like that too. But Lucas Van Ness did not come out of nowhere. There was some talk about him connecting with Green Bay if we look back, right?
Absolutely. I didn't – I'll be honest, and I said it last year when we did it. I that wasn't the guy that I would have picked. But it didn't surprise me because he fit a lot of what the Packers – first of all, and this is not just the Packers, but some – NFL teams have a certain affinity for certain colleges. And just for whatever reason, they like the coaching staff. They like the players that come out, the way they're ready to whatever. Well, Green Bay kind of likes Iowa a little bit. They've taken more than one guy from Iowa over 30 years. So that was, you know, Van Ness was coming from a school that they liked. He fit a need in a sense that they're looking for another pass rusher type. He can play with his hand down, which he will now, since they're going to a 4-3. So yeah, it wasn't like an off-the-wall pick by any means, but it wasn't the guy. I still would have wanted Christian Gonzalez, but that's better.
The corner that went to the Patriots.
No England, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and so again, the metrics, everyone uses RAS, and I don't know if the Packers use that specifically, but the metrics tell a lot of the story. And in fact, if you go back earlier this week, all the shows, all the teams – I have locked in this year because there's so much intrigue with this draft for the Packers because there's so many things they could do. I've listened to everything. I've taken in three times as much content as I normally do because I'm not really big into the pontificating and the mock drafts and all that other kind of stuff. But
I do want
to have to, but to have to talk about it, you know, and to get educated about these players and who they are. I've listened to a lot of this stuff. Andy Herman did a phenomenal job of really breaking down who is most likely for the Packers to choose. And his show that launched on Wednesday broke down, or maybe it was Tuesday, broke down the players most likely to end up getting drafted by the Packers based on their measurable. And he went through like a bunch, not just round one. He went through like the entire draft. I guarantee you two or three of those, at least two or three of those players are going to end up being Packers.
Oh,
because he did this great job of vetting like the measurables, the position, like the versatility, like of offensive linemen, for example, they're versatile, they can swing, whatever it be, all that other kind of stuff. Just a great job covering all of the, you know, all of the possibilities. Cause, and we were talking before the show started, Mark, I mean, again, there's a lot of directions the Packers can go this year. There's a lot of stuff they could do. There's a lot of things they need.
Yeah. And well, there are needs, but they're not desperate at any one position. I think, you know, I mean, like, yeah, they could use a safety, obviously, mm-hmm. but if they like Anthony Johnson more than we realize, then maybe they're not as desperate. And this isn't, they're not taking a safety in the first round because there isn't one worth taking. I know I'm hearing people say, oh, they might take this guy. No, they're not first round picks. They're just not. They're not going to take a safety in the first round. I'll be shocked. But they could take the best player as long as it's not a, you know, they're not going to, well, all right, let's start off with this. So when I tried to figure out who they're going to take, I did a kind of like process of elimination, which is maybe not the best way to do, but I like doing things that way. Like, all right, let's rule out who they're not taking. They're not taking a quarterback. They're not taking a running back. They're not taking a tight end. I didn't rule out wide receiver, but I said, well, wide receiver isn't off the table, but it's on the edge about to fall off.
So Brock Bowers falls, and you're saying?
First of all, he's not that good. He's the most overrated player in the draft. And they don't. What would they do with Brock Bowers?
Yeah.
He's not better than Musgrave.
No. I listen,
Brian. He's too slow.
No, and there you have it.
He will be gone because some team's going to
Someone will take him. Yeah, because I think also some team will probably see him as like a hybrid.
I don't know what they're going to see him as, but he's 6'2", and he refuses to run a 40. Because when he runs it, he's going to run about a 5-second 40, and then nobody's going to want him.
Right.
But anyway, enough Brock Bowers. Wide receiver, I said, it's not off the table because there's a lot of good wide receivers in this draft. And it would be so ironic and such a good story if they took a wide receiver.
Yeah, oh, it would.
Every year people wanted to take a wide receiver, right? They never do. This year, no one's thinking they're going to take a wide receiver. So, you know what I'm saying? I don't think they will. I really don't. I don't think they'll take an interior offensive lineman, even though they could use one. You can get good ones in the second. I mean, they have four picks in the second and third round. So I think if they really want a guard or center, you can get one then.
Now, I will put a little asterisk on that and say that they might look for – now, I think if they go tackle, offensive tackle in the first round, I think they're looking for a tackle. Like, you might potentially see them draft a tackle who ends up proving to be a better interior offensive lineman, but I don't know if that's going to be the plan going into it.
Well, the Packers, that's what they do. I mean, most of their guards through the years have been college tackles.
Right, yep.
Other than Elton Jenkins, who was a college center.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, John Runyon played tackle at Michigan. They made him a guard. Josh Sitton played tackle. T.J. Lang played tackle. I think who else were the Packers guards through the years? They had those Sitton and Lang for a long time. Mike Wall was a tackle. They wanted him to be a tackle, and he wasn't all that great at it. And then they moved him to guard, and he became a Pro Bowl guard.
Right.
So,
I mean, they actually tinkered a little bit with Derek Sherrod at guard when they drafted him in 2011.
Okay.
He obviously had a lot of injuries. He never panned out or turned in anything. But that was Ted. But I think Brian Gutekunst, same thing. Versatility, wants that guys who can play multiple positions. Now they accurately scouted and did a very good job of finding Elton Jenkins. If they think there's another guy like that in this particular draft, then don't be surprised if they use a high pick on him. I don't know if they would do in the first round, but then you've got some of those second round picks, and then that helps them. I don't know. I just, not to get off on a tangent, but I just don't know how much I love the idea of if they're thinking about moving Zach Tom off out of right tackle and moving him inside. I don't know.
I hate that idea.
If you have a right or left tackle, then you have a right or left tackle, then that's a pretty big luxury.
I agree. You know, just leave Zach Tom alone.
So
if you're going to move Zach Tom anywhere, move him to left tackle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tackles are hard. It's hard to get good tackles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got one. Leave him alone.
Just leave it. Leave it be. leave it be. So you said now.
So anyway,
now you
tackle's a possibility in the first round. Mm-hmm. It's a possibility, but there's a. I think. Well, you know, we'll see if there's a tackle that's there at 25 that they really like. That could be the guy. That's not the guy. I didn't give them that guy because I had him. I had most of the tackles gone by the time. Most of the ones that I thought were good enough, I had gone. So I think they can get a. They might wait to get a tackle too. Now, defensively, there's no safety, and I don't think there's a safety worth taking in the first round. Because I said earlier, I'll say it again. There's you can get a bunch of them in the second and third. I mean, they'll probably wait on that. I think. Now, again, this is just all me. I'm not. No one's telling me this. This is just my thoughts, or nobody from the Packers was telling me this. I do talk to a couple scouts, and they were all in agreement that. No safety and no linebacker. As much as I like Edgerrin Cooper, they told me no. He's going to go early second. They don't think safety or linebacker is going to go in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So take those off the board. So that leaves defensive line, corner, and tackle. So I think the Packers' first round pick will be one of those three positions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have fallen for everything over the last several years with the Packers. It sounds like it. It seems like that's what they would do. Now, if you want to base it off of what Brian Gutekunst said and the things that he said when he was asked, because, you know, fortunately, like you and I were talking about before we started as well, at least Brian Gutekunst will like answer a question with more tangible words than that's just the way it worked out or just the way it fell or more than five words.
So
if you read some of those tea leaves, then it would lead you to believe that there's a couple possibilities. You reminded me before the show started that the Jordan Love pick shouldn't have been as surprising as it was, because he did make a comment before that draft that if the quarterback they liked was there, they were going to take him, and they did.
And they did. Yeah, so, he doesn't – like I've covered teams where they just flat out lie to you. Flat out lie. We love our defensive line. We think we're good and we're deep, and yeah, that's one position we're not even really paying attention to. And with the 12th pick, the Eagles take defensive linemen. So I'm like, what? Wait a minute. And then we ask, hey, you said, well, oh, we can't give away what we're going to do. You know, of course, you know.
Yeah.
So they all lie. They all lie about what, and I don't blame them. You can't come out and say, that's why. In Goody's press conference Monday. It was Monday, right?
Yep.
You know, and everybody bought it. They all jumped on it like fishing, like throwing the bait, and that fish all jumped on it. Oh, did you see what he said about Cooper DeJean? Oh, my. Yeah, he said he's versatile and he's good and he's this and that. So that, guess what? They ain't taking Cooper DeJean.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't have said all. I mean, unless he's being totally. I mean, I threw up. That was a guy I thought about. But after he said all that publicly, they're not taking him.
He said too much.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's like my old adage and my theory is the more that gets said about a prospect on social media, by the team, by Brian Gutekunst, by everyone else, the more you hear a player's name uttered, the less likely that player is going to be a Green Bay Packer. It usually comes out of nowhere. Tyler Guyton's another one. Tyler Guyton's name has been thrown out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. I'm like, okay, well, you can eliminate that. Edgerrin Cooper's another one. I've heard Edgerrin Cooper's name a bunch. Well,
I would like him, but second round, you can do that.
It's been said too many times. Well, some opine that he's one of the best defensive players in the draft, so someone might overdraft him. He may end up going round one.
Well, again, I thought so, and I thought he deserved it. But again, I have all three guys I trust tell me no linebacker is going in the first round. So I got to believe what I'm being told. I mean, they could be wrong. Everybody's only like I always say, it only takes one team.
Yeah, it does.
There's 32 of them. It only takes one to say.
Yeah, moving around. And if there's a run and all of a sudden someone panics and jumps up ahead. I mean, the Niners jumped up and grabbed Brandon Ayuk in 2020. Who knows what the original plan was, if it was Love all the way or if they were going to possibly try to take Ayuk. I have no idea if they wanted Justin Jefferson more than anybody. We really don't know.
This was an interesting thing that Goody said Monday also. He was asked about one of the better questions that he was asked that day was they asked him last year in the second round, the Packers started off with pick, I guess it was 40-something, 43, whatever it was. And they moved down a couple spots with Detroit. And then they moved down again a couple more, and they got an extra pick. Mm-hmm. And then they moved down a couple more spots with Tampa Bay. And then at pick 50, they took Jaden Reed, who they wanted all along, obviously. And he did it perfectly where he was able to still get the guy he wanted and got two extra picks. And those two extra picks turned out to be Dontavian Wicks and Carl Brooks.
Uh-huh.
So that he looks like a genius. He got three really good players that really helped him last year with one pick.
Yep.
But the guy in the meet, I don't know who asked the question. I heard it, but I didn't recognize his voice. His point was, how nervous do you get when, you know, you obviously wanted Reed and you're moving down? Like, how nervous were you that somebody wasn't going to take Reed at 48 or 49 when you're sitting fit? Like, you move down those spots. And Goody answered it by saying, that's where you have to trust your board. And, you know, it was a gamble, but what was the word he used? Not organized, but a calculated in that. So he had, like, so then the follow-up was, so you had other, if Reed would have gone 48 or 49, you had somebody else there that you liked, you know, that you would have taken. And he said, yeah. He said, and to be honest, and I'll tell you who it was, Tucker Kraft.
Uh-huh.
He said, so it worked out really good for us because we got him in the third round.
Yeah.
We couldn't believe he lasted to the third round.
Right.
So that's I thought that was pretty interesting. That, because, I mean, it is, you're taking, and now again, if they had Reed so high up and nobody close to him, then they probably wouldn't have traded down. They just would have taken him, you know. But that's where your, like you said, that's where your, or as he said, that's where your board comes into play. And you have in groups, I'm sure, like, I know a lot of teams, they you know, you have groups of guys, and some guys, sometimes there's one guy that stands above the group. So if that's the kind of guy that you either, that's the guy that you move up to get, you know. But if there's a group of guys and you think they're all the same, that's when you can move down and figure, all right, one of them's still going to be there.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. And so you only do one mock draft.
Yes. And I do it today.
Okay.
It's up today. I did it yesterday. I mean, I wrote it Wednesday. It'll be on site Thursday. It's on site now as we speak.
As we speak. So do you want to?
Yeah, it's up there. So I can tell you what's going on.
Yeah, go through. I mean, there's been so much, you know, what are they going to do? And I think Cooper DeJean is probably the one name that's been thrown out so much. And I think a lot of people are going to get really disappointed if they don't draft him, because, again, it's the names that get familiar, and like it leads you to feel as a fan like, oh, our team didn't do the smart thing. They didn't do the consensus thing that they were supposed to. But every year the Packers do their own thing, and it, you know, I think it's worked out pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, hey, listen, the Packers have missed on picks just like every other team in the league. You know, I mean, they took, you know, they've taken guys in the first, you know, they did you know that they could have had J.J. Watt? They took Kevin King.
Oh, I did not. That's crazy.
Yeah, you believe that?
Yeah. Who's gonna be the J.J. Watt of this year? And who knew that he was? Or I mean, not the T.J. Watt. Who knew that T.J. You know, T.J. Watt was gonna be, you know, the T.J. Watt that he is right now. You never know that.
30 teams passed on him.
So right.
So anyway, yeah, Cooper DeJean's a guy that I have. I'm really gonna get Packer fans upset. I'm really him. Not only don't I have the Packers taking him, I have him going before the Packers pick at 25. And I have him going to the Minnesota Vikings.
I thought you were going to say the Lions. Okay.
No, the Lions are after the Packers.
Yeah.
But that's only because I don't do trades in my mock draft. I kind of think the Vikings are going to trade up. But I think they're going to use 11 and 23 and try to get up to get J.J. McCarthy.
Yep.
But they might not. I mean, that. Just because they want to do it, somebody else has to want to move out, you know? So,
well, I'll be really honest with you. Based on what I think about the quarterbacks that'll be available to the Vikings, I kind of hope that they do make those trades.
Oh, me too. I don't know. I like J.J. McCarthy. I think he did it. I made a lot of money betting on him at Michigan. I don't know if he's going to be a great pro.
I don't think so.
I have my doubts.
I think he'll
I don't think he's Zach Wilson or Trey Lance, or, you know, I don't think he'll be traded for a seventh round pick in 2 years like these other guys have been. But I don't think he's going to win a Super Bowl either.
So whoever it is, teams that the Vikings call, please trade. Please trade your pick with them. Because here's the thing, and I've said it 1,000 times, and we can move on after this about the whole quarterback situation. I would rather my team draft the quarterback, not a quarterback.
Yep.
And there's a big difference.
And let's be honest, too. And when we had Mark Ross on, whenever it was, last month or a couple, whenever it was, we were talking about the quarterback drafts and how Jordan Love panned out on it. If six quarterbacks go in the first round, it looks like six will. I'll bet you whatever you want to bet me. All six are not going to be good.
Right.
That just doesn't happen. Now, that Love's year is about as good a year as you're going to get with
Burrow,
Herbert, Tua, and Love.
Mm-hmm.
Those four went in the first round, and so far they all look pretty good.
Yep.
But that's so rare. There's more years when you get, you know, Trey Lance and Sam Darnold and all these other high, Mac Jones and Zach Wilson and Justin Fields and anybody else the Bears have ever taken. Mitch Trubisky. you get way more of them than you get Herbert and Tua and Burrow and Love. I mean, that was a rare. Actually, Jalen Hurts went in the second round that year. So that was a rare. That doesn't happen. That happens once every whatever many years. So, mm-hmm. If six go in the first round, two are going to be probably really good. Two will be like, okay, they'll play, they'll play a couple contracts, but they'll be like, I don't know, give me a mediocre quarterback. They'll be Geno Smith or, mm-hmm. Someone along that ilk. And then two will be the bad guys that get traded for sixth round picks in a couple of years.
Right.
Kenny Pickett, another one that, first round pick that didn't pan out.
So do you think this, if it ends up working out this way, the first four picks have never been quarterbacks?
It could be this. Well, no, I think four to first five. I think the Cardinals are going to take Marvin Harrison Jr.
I think so too.
I think they're going to be tempted and they're going to get a lot of offers, but I think they're going to, I don't think you pass up on Marvin Harrison. And if, unless they can only go down a spot or two and still get him. But yeah, I think the Cardinals take Marvin Harrison. So I think the first three will be quarterbacks. And then the Chargers may move out of five and let the quarter, and then so four to first five. I think the Giants want a quarterback at six. Mm-hmm. I think they want McCarthy. But the more quarterbacks that go, it's better for the Packers.
Right.
I mean, the Packers are picking 25.
Yeah. And you want, and they don't care about quarterbacks. So you're sliding all these other good position players now.
If six quarterbacks go before 25, the Packers are actually getting a top 20 pick at 25.
Mm-hmm. And is that, just spoiler alert here before we, is that where you're going with your mock and who you think Green Bay taking?
No, I'm going kind of off the wall. I thought I was, and then our good friend Paul Brettel, reading the same tea leaves that I read, because he taught me how to read tea leaves, came up with this guy too, which kind of, I was like, I actually texted Paul and said, what are you doing to me? I thought I was going to be the first person to mention this guy's name, and you went and put him out there. He laughed. He sent back, and he was laughing. But we'll get to it. You want it now, or you want to prolong the agony a little more?
Well, we could. I mean, we could.
Well, Cooper Jeans, if he's there, I wouldn't trade up for him. If I'm the Packers, I'm not trading up for him. And I don't think Goody is, from what he was talking. The only guys I would trade up for, and they would have to give him way too much. I would trade up for Joe Alt.
Alt, uh-huh.
Because I think he's a super left tackle that, you could, I mean, nothing against Rashid. Then you could make Rashid Walker your swing guy or whatever you want to do with him. But you'd have to get to, they'd have to trade their first, both seconds, maybe something else. And they're not going to do all that. Some of these other tackles, I don't know. I think they're all about the same. I think they're good. They're some good players, but I don't want to give up. I want, like Goody says, I want more swings at the bat. I want more at bats. I want more bullets. I want more whatever. However you want, more slices of the pie. Whatever cliche.
All of that, right? Yep.
Want more. I want more because they're not. Like I said, they're not desperate in a lot of ways, but they do need bodies. They need bodies on the offensive line because they lost three of them. They need a body at linebacker. They need bodies at safety.
Mm-hmm.
And they could, and then they also need help up. They could use some defensive line help.
Yeah, defensive line, because I know they're talking to Kenny Clark, but it's not done.
Right, TJ Slayton's going to be your
Slayton's going to be a free agent too. They need if you're a 4-3, I don't know how much base they're going to play, but you need some more depth at linebacker too.
Yeah, obviously a linebacker. They only have really two guys that have ever really played, Quay Walker and McDuffie, and McDuffie only played because guys were hurt.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's what I was saying. There's a lot of directions, not just today, round one, but you know, these first 2 days.
Hey friends, are you ready for the Bucks playoffs? Are you ready for a little Dame time? Even if you're not, you're probably ready for the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, or any of your favorite baseball teams kicking off their 2024 campaign. With all of this amazing action going on, there's never been a better time to get in on the excitement of Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your sports knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball entries on Prize Picks. Friends, I can't even begin to explain to you how much I'm enjoying my Prize Picks experience. It's so easy to play, and their user-friendly interface and enormous, and I mean enormous, selection of players and stat types make it a beautifully unique experience every single time I log in. Last week, LeBron James came up huge for me, and this week I'm looking to keep the momentum going, relying on Luka Doncic and Connor McDavid. And guess what? Even if Doncic or McDavid get hurt, Prize Picks offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. So what are you waiting for? Now is the time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks. So download that app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. If you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently, I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through Game Time. My experience with Game Time has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of Game Time is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets, and save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Well, I'm going to give you three. All right. I'll start now because we're running into this now. So, all right. DeGene's a guy that if he's there, he would certainly help. He would fill, I mean, as Goody said, he could play corner or safety. So they can just put him out there and let him, you know, depending on how the offense lines up, he can line up in the slot or deep, or, I mean, which is very valuable, obviously. But I have him going before 25. If he's there at 25, and I wouldn't be upset if they took him. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy that I like for the Packers, and this was the guy I was going to give them until those tea leaves came out, is Jordan Morgan. An offensive lineman from Arizona, who is a tackle. He played tackle at Arizona. People think he fits better at guard in the NFL because his arms aren't tackle size arms. So he could be a guy that if they were to take him, he could win the job at right guard. He could beat out Sean Ryan and be your starting right guard, but also be your backup if God forbid, you know, Walker or Tom got hurt. You have somebody that could go out and play tackle and then put Ryan in the guard. You know?
Right.
But then I thought more about that, and I said, the short arms, Packers normally don't like that.
They have certain – you're right. They have certain measurables they like.
Yeah, so I kind of got off him a little bit. So the guy I gave him, and it's a name that hasn't been – all of a sudden his name is being brought up. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to give you a bunch of factors. But one is there's only, I think, 14 or 15 players going to Detroit for the draft, which is – usually there's more than that, right?
Yeah, there's been 32 picks. That's less than half. That's half.
Right.
Yeah.
But some guys want to stay home with their families, whatever. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's up
plus, it's Detroit.
It's Detroit. It's not New York like it
right.
is. It's Detroit. Next year's Green Bay. We'll see how that goes.
But true.
There's only 14 or 15. And most of them are all but one is names that you've heard over and over again. But this guy his name was in there. People saying, like, why is he going? He's not going. Well, the NFL knows more than we do. Because, like, Vegas knows more when they put a point spread out there. And you say, why is that line only six? Or why is it only – or why is that line so high? Because they know more than we do. But the NFL – somebody in the NFL, some team told whoever invites the players, hey, yeah, put him on there because he's going first round. All right? That's tea leaf number one. Tea leaf number two. Packers put a lot of stock and a lot of their – if you look through the years, guys who played well at the Senior Bowl –
yes.
Packers, the Packers take guys.
The Senior Bowl is important to the Packers.
They
yes.
put a lot of emphasis on Senior Bowl.
Correct.
Well, this guy was got the most outstanding player at the Senior Bowl week. All right. Third, again, we mentioned that RAS, and the Packers say they don't use that per se, but they have their own system or whatever, but it's similar, right? But this guy got, I believe, a 9.78 as his RAS. Pretty high.
Yeah.
And the guy, I'll give it to him, his Darius Robinson. Defensive end from Missouri.
Okay.
Now you know you're gonna. I'm surprised you didn't say what. But
well, it's not the first time that I've heard his name.
Okay.
But that would be. This is what I'm talking about. This would be the prototypical Brian Gutekunst, Green Bay Packer first round special.
Yes, I agree. That's why I'm. And I could be way off. I threw that. I mentioned it to one person, and he's like, "No." I said, "I don't know. I'm telling you." And then that's when he said, "Well, you might know the team better than I do."
Well, let's talk about something real quick, just real quick, to add some more flame.
Oh,
to
one more tea leaf. One more tea leaf.
Okay.
From all like when you read about this guy and his background and all this, team captain, loved in the locker room, like nothing that ever no speeding tickets, nothing, no back clean back, clean as can be background.
Mm-hmm.
Packers like that kind of stuff too.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And I still have more ammo for you, Mark.
Go ahead.
More things that check the box here. He's only 22 years old.
Right.
6'5", 296. Don't have his number.
I think that 296 is a little bit high, but still good size.
Played at a major Power Five, right?
SEC.
And checks that box there. And again, not a top 30. Because as Gutekunst said, he uses that top 30 like Ted does sometimes as a smokescreen. They had Kool-Aid come in for a visit, and everybody every year like, oh, they had him in for a visit. Oh, he's high on the board. It's like that really those top 30 visits for the Packers specifically, that doesn't really for some teams maybe, but for Green Bay, that doesn't really mean much.
No, it does for like I said, for the lower. Look at some of the guys that aren't big names that they brought in. They're the guys they're going to take in the sixth round.
Mm-hmm.
Fine as undrafted guys, that's what they use it for more than anything, I think.
Yeah.
So again, I went off my normal who I want or who I think and I try to think like Brian Gutekunst. And I tried to use the things that I know they like, Senior Bowl, RAS, size and measurables and all that kind of stuff. And it is a need. I mean, he's your classic 4-3 end.
Mm-hmm.
He's big. I mean, the Packers like big. He's big, like you said, 6'5", 290. That's a big, and he's good. And guess, he had eight sacks last year.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good for college season.
Mm-hmm.
But he's better at stopping the run. Well, what haven't the Packers been good at?
Since, for the last two decades, I feel like, geez.
Since Reggie White and Gilbert Brown was out there, right? So nothing wrong with having a guy that's good at stopping the run.
Absolutely not. No, I wouldn't hate the pick. I wouldn't hate the pick. I mean, you're only making one in the first round unless he wants to trade down and get another first round or something like that and do like a pull a 2022 where he takes a Quay and then comes back and gets a Devontae Wyatt. But Darius Robinson, again, this is another this I'm telling you right now, you you and Paul, this is the big ode to the Thursday edition of the Pack a Day podcast, because Paul's always with us in spirit, right? This would be pretty big getting inside the mind of the GM. But I like your thinking. Everything, all the boxes are checked. This is a very solid choice on your part. So what was it? I mean, just in your prep process, what was it that made you finally say, "All right, I'm going Robinson"?
Everything I just said. Well, the first thing was the MVP, the Senior Bowl.
Okay. Okay. Yep.
Because everybody kept saying to me, or I kept saying, and people I talked to. Look at who did well in the Senior Bowl. Look at who did. First of all, look and see who went to the Senior Bowl, because not everybody goes to the Senior Bowl, right? So I had the list of all the players at the Senior Bowl. Okay. And there were some other guys that were on there that I thought were possibilities. And then I, for some reason, I started looking at more about the Senior Bowl. And I said, how this guy dominated that whole week. And he got named the most outstanding player at the Senior Bowl. I'm like, And I said, all right, let me check his RAS. Because if he had a 6.4, they ain't taking him. Not in the first round. Well, he had a 9.78 or something. Okay, well, now it's 1-1. Okay, now all right, let's check his background. You know, if he's been in trouble or something, no. Model citizen, well-liked, great teammate, team leader, blah, blah. Like, this is just like the perfect Brian Gutten, because and he comes at it, I think, a need. I mean, it's not their biggest need, but let's look at what they got at defensive end right now. Gary and Van Ness, right? And you got Preston Smith, who's, let's be honest, I mean, he's had a great career, but it's nearing an end, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the Goody doesn't draft for this year a lot of times.
No. And they want the most moldable piece of clay they can find. And Darius Robinson could certainly be that.
He can, he'll play, you know, if they were to take him, he'll get some snaps this year. Because when you play a 4-3, you need 8 linemen because you're going to rotate them in and out. You're not going to let Gary's not going to play 100% of the snaps. Van Ness isn't going to play 100%. You know, they're going to have to have a third, fourth guy's coming in. So he'll do like Van Ness did last year. He'll rotate in, like Rashawn Gary did his rookie year. He was the fourth guy on the depth chart.
Mm-hmm.
So he could, you know, and then, you know, like I said, I can't imagine Preston Smith. First of all, we don't know if Preston Smith can even play defensive end in a 4-3.
Yeah, that's the other question too. I was just going to say, I don't know if I've ever seen him play with his hand in the dirt. I have no idea.
He's more of a linebacker, so he might only be used. I think Preston Smith's role this year might be very, like, just third and long. All right, Preston, go out there and blitz. You know, just like, I don't know. We'll see how Halfley wants to use people. But yeah, so defensive end is I think a bigger need than people are putting it. You know, like everyone's saying they need a safety and they might need a corner and they might linebacker certainly, but or offense. I don't think people realize the defensive line is a bigger need than it appears. I mean, yeah, right. Gary and Van Ness are fine, but you need more than two.
I think if you're making a scheme change, you need impact players on the defensive side to make this thing happen quicker than not. Because you don't want to have a 4 or 5 year runway. You've got a competitive offense in this that can churn and score points. I mean, they should have been in the NFC Championship game last year, for crying out loud. So you don't want your defense to be letting everyone down again. And like you said, with the whole defensive back thing, because Terrion Arnold was another one that I really liked last week when we talked about him. But I think he potentially is like the first corner off the board. So if you want him, you got to move way up. And if Gutekunst said he wants more swings, well, that's not going to help, because if you have to give up, you know, two or three picks and package and move up, they really love the player. Okay, that's fine. But I don't necessarily think that's the direction that they go. But this is one where I think they're looking to. I think that, you know, like you said, I think the maneuvering that he wants to do is more on like day two, potentially day three. Versus on day one. Never know. He could potentially move up. They could make or they might trade out completely and not make any picks because they feel like, you know, if they're picking, you know, within the first 4 or 5 picks and on day two and Robinson's still there.
Well, I was just going to say they could. Again, I don't do trades in mind, but I'm going to tell you two teams that Robinson, you know, you got to be careful is the Detroit Lions. Because I've been told that they like him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the 49ers, who love taking defensive linemen in the first round.
Yep.
So they're at 29 and 31, right? Yeah.
Correct.
31. Yep. They lost the Super Bowl. So you don't want to go – I don't know if you want to leave the first round. But if you want to go down to, like, 28, say Buffalo wants to come up and get a wide receiver, so you're only moving a couple spots, and then you pick up an extra fourth-round pick or something from Buffalo for doing that, okay.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And you still get your guy and you get an extra swing in the fourth round.
Sure. Well, the last time I saw Aaron Nagler post this earlier today, the last time the Packers stayed at and picked 25th was 20 years ago, 2004.
Mm-hmm.
They picked cornerback Ahmad Carroll out of Arkansas.
Oh, terrible
pick. Terrible. Awful.
That was Mike Sherman.
Of course it was Mike Sherman. He also, you know, drafted a punter in the third round. So
Traded up,
yeah, and drafted a punter.
And he didn't make the team.
Good head coach and not a very good general manager.
He wasn't a good head coach either.
No.
He never got.
Favre saved him. I mean the team saved him because they didn't.
Don't get me started on this. He had Brett Favre. He had the all-time leading rusher in Packer history, Amon Green. He had a crazy good offensive line. His defense wasn't as bad as some other Packer defenses. He never got – forget getting to a Super Bowl. He never got to an NFC
Conference Championship. Yeah, no, he didn't.
He never got that
far. Never did. Nope.
Oh, no. He's my least favorite coach. And I go – I mean, some of them were just bad. But, I mean, he had talent and didn't make – and then he, as a GM, he was, like you said, a complete disaster.
Well, the good news story is, thank God, it's not Mike Sherman making the pick. It's Brian Gutekunst making the pick. And we should know – sooner than later. Now, by the time, and we're recording this on Wednesday, by the time you're listening to this, there may have already been some trades and movement around and stuff like that that is going to give you a better idea of what's going to happen in the top 10. And again, it's not that the Packers are moving into the top 10, but what that does is if it's quarterback heavy or if it's a position the Packers aren't interested in, it's going to slide more opportunities and more options their way. Just don't get caught up in all the mock draft and the same speak about the players and all these, you know, different players like Cooper DeJean is like the apple of everyone's eye. When he doesn't end up going to the Packers, everyone's going to freak out. When he becomes a, you know, like I said, if he does end up becoming a Minnesota Viking, or if he goes to the Bears, or, you know, if the Lions trade up, God forbid, whatever, then it's going to be a complete and total meltdown. But just look at the historical. Look at the historical and what they look at, what they want, and don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if it is Darius Robinson out of Missouri, or, you know, it could be one of those others.
I'll be stoked if it is. I mean, again, I'm thrown to it's funny, when I used to cover the Eagles, right? I went a lot. I mean, and again, the Eagles are hard to pick because the Eagles almost always trade, and you can't predict a trade, right? So one year I got it exactly right. I said if they trade up, they're going to get, I forget who it was. I think Jerome McDougal from Miami. Who turned out not to be very good. But I said, if they trade up, that's who they're trading up for. And they did. And everybody said, hey, you got it right. And I said, oh, yeah, we won something again. And they said, I said something about, when was the last time? I said, that's the first time I got it right in like 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody else said, well, maybe you had it right. They haven't gotten it right in 10 years either.
Yeah, yeah. Let somebody else step in there and try their hand at it.
I used to do that. I know Ross Uglum is from Packer Report, our publisher. He's been doing this series where he looks back. He picked like different, like the 2019 draft, the 2020 draft, whatever draft. He looks back and says and compares what he wanted the Packers to do with what they actually did.
Mm-hmm.
And he weighs like, you know, oh yeah, if they did, they did about like, you know, they took Jordan Love, and I told him that I wanted to take this guy. Well, yeah, they did better. Mm-hmm. And I want him to take, they could listen to me here. And I used to do a similar thing with my Eagles coverage back in the day. Like, I would take a draft, you know, you have to wait a couple of years, obviously, and then just look and see, like, you know, if they would listen to, if they would have done what I wanted, what would they have had now as compared to what they actually did? And sometimes I was right, sometimes they were right.
Right.
It kind of works. It kind of balances out.
Yeah, there's no perfect. There's no perfect, and not every pick is going to hit. And just because Goody nailed it last year and ended up picking some really good players doesn't mean this year might not be a more of a regression to the mean, or it could even be like a below average draft.
You don't know.
You never know. They do the best they can. I think the pro personnel and the personnel team they have, the scouting team, does a good job of creating their board. They try to stick to it. They've got a good process. The results speak for themselves. This team's in the playoffs more often than not. And they're once again, after a short little hiatus, if you want to call it that, last year, and then, you know, surprisingly, Rodgers last year, quarterback, they didn't make the playoffs at all. They're once again being talked about as a favorite to win the division again. Mm-hmm. So you reload, you stock up, and hopefully they make enough picks. They've got plenty of them, and so if you move back, they'll stack up again. But you know, I said it last week and the week before. Trust the process. I think that's what we have to do here. So if it ends up being Robinson or whoever it is in the first round, I trust that there's a lot of work that went into making that choice.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And here's the thing that, you know, that we don't know. I mean, I'm speculating here, but I mean, I kind of do know, but there's a lot of luck involved.
Yes, yes.
I mean, the Packers might love Robinson, right? They might think, and he might turn out to be a great player, and they're ready to take him at 25. And at the land, and then, you know, who's picking 24? Dallas? Yeah. Dallas takes him at 24, which no one is thinking that, but oh my God. So, like, oh, damn, we thought we had him. I mean, that happened. I'll tell you, the first draft I ever covered was 1985. The Eagles had the 9th pick, and we all knew they were taking an offensive lineman. They were desperate. They needed a tackle in the worst way. And there were two that were – I mean, one guy was going really early. I forget. Fraley, I think his name was. William Frawl or Fraley. Mm-hmm. The Falcons took him like 3 or something. And he turned out to be a great player. But then there was two. There was Lomas Brown and Ken Ruckers. And – all odds were that one of them was going to be there at 9. One would probably go, and one would be there. A lot of people thought they would both be there, and then the Eagles would have their choice. And that was a debate: if they're both there, which one are they going to take? But the draft goes, and this guy goes, and that guy goes, and that guy goes, and the Lions are up at 7, and the Lions take Lomas Brown. Okay, The Bills were 8. Bills had a good offense or decent offensive line. They were definitely taking defense or something, right?
Yeah.
Or a receiver, I think, whatever they want. They weren't taking offensive line. All right, the Bills will take what they take, and the Eagles will get Ken Ruckers at 9. Well, commissioner comes on, says, the Bills have traded their pick to the Green Bay Packers. Packers are on the clock. Packers take Ken Ruckers.
Ruckers, yep.
Eagles are like, what? So the Eagles wind up, and this is where you can't panic. And the Eagles panicked, and instead of taking, like, a guy named Jerry Rice who was still available. Or, you know, there was a couple of other good defensive. They said, we got to get a tackle. And they took this Kevin Allen out of Indiana who lasted 1 year. He's the worst pick in Eagle history because he spent more time in jail than he did in the NFL. But he was taken with a 9th pick. He didn't play much. He didn't play hardly at all as a rookie. And Buddy Ryan came in the next year and cut him. It was just a terrible pick. But yeah, they wanted Ruckers or Brown, and by happenstance they both went, and they didn't see it coming. Now that's maybe the Eagles should have done a little more homework to know that something could have happened. Maybe they should have moved up and not let the Packers get whatever. I mean, there's things that you could do at that point, but things happen like that. You know, guys get trades happen, and you're like, oh man, we didn't see that coming.
I mean, the Packers got caught there with Ray Lewis in 1996. They got caught there with Marshawn Lynch in 2007. They ended up picking Justin Harrell in 96. They took John Michael. He was, and you know, they I think those were panic picks. That's Ron Wolf and Ted Thompson. And I think Brian Gutekunst has way more contingencies in place where he's like, I'm not getting caught with my pants down. I'll have a plan B for whatever situation comes up or whatever happens here. I'll have a plan B. We're not going to get caught, and he's going to trust his board and stick with it and take the best player that they can for, you know, whatever their team be. I just, you know, like you said, you mentioned receiver or something like that too. Anything is on the table. You just never know. And round one, in round one, because it's never just about 2024. It's about 25 and beyond. The other thing too is if it's a position where you want more control, it matters if you pick them in the first round, you get that fifth year.
Yep.
So if that's if that weighs in the equation at all, you get that fifth year with that first round pick if you pick them before 30 before 33. So, but and that's it, but that's you know, this has been a good healthy conversation. I just again for me and we can throw some more out there too. I don't know if there's any other names that you want to throw out there too. But I caution everybody to just, you know, look at the trends and look at what's happened over the past couple of years and don't fall victim once again to all of the stuff that gets thrown out in the universe.
Exactly. But let me just one more, because you asked me what led me to take Robinson at 25 was, and I said all the, like I gave you all my tea leaves, the Senior Bowl and the RAS and the leadership and good guy and all that. But also was, as I was doing it, like, I love when somebody would, like, whether it's now with the Packers or when I covered the Eagles, hey, who are they going to take it? If you're picking three or five, or four, I can tell you what I mean. You don't 25. Well, tell me who the first 24 are, and then I'll tell you who I think they're going to take.
Yeah,
because you don't know what's going to happen ahead of them, right? So, as I did my from one to, you know, as I got to 25, there really wasn't an offensive lineman that I thought was. Like I said, I narrowed it down that they're going to take a corner, a tackle, or a defensive lineman. Well, the corners were gone. I mean, Wiggins was gone, Arnold was gone, the kid from Toledo, Mitchell, was gone, and DeGene was gone. They were the four top ones were gone. Kool-Aid, I'm not a big Kool-Aid fan. I think he's okay. I didn't want to give him Kool-Aid. And then the same with the tackles. You know, Alt was obviously gone, and then the kid from Penn State was gone, the kid from Washington was gone, the kid from Oregon State was gone, Latham was gone. I think there's going to be a run on tackles from, like, between 10 and 20. I think a lot of tackles are going to go. Mims was gone. So, I mean, again, I wasn't going to reach for – Jordan Morgan was a possibility. I will say Jordan Morgan. It came down to Jordan Morgan and Robinson. And was there another guy I had in the mix? Probably Cooley was third, but I just – as a corner. Yeah, because I was looking at they were the three positions I was looking at, and they were the three – they were the top players at those positions. And I just thought, you know what? They can get a corner just as good as Kool-Aid. And they can get Max Melton, who I really want, Bo Melton's brother. They can get him in the second round, who I think is just as good as Kool-Aid. He's faster, for one. He can play the slot, which is, I think the Packers are looking more for a slot corner. So, I threw him. Morgan's good. But I think they can get a guy in the second round that's maybe, I know, not quite as good, but good. That's the other thing. After Robinson, the defensive line kind of – there's Chris Jenkins from Michigan, Colin Jenkins' nephew. He'll go early second round. But then, I mean, it kind of drops off. That position drops off more so, I think, than offensive line and corner. So I was hedging that a little bit too, saying, you know, they can get the defensive lineman now. They can still get a good offensive lineman and a good corner with their second and third round picks.
Sure. Yeah.
Again, I'm just trying to add – I could be way off. This guy might not, who knows.
No, but I think they've got all that. I think they've got all that vetted and tried. They're trying to figure that out. And again, plan B, plan C, make sure they don't get caught. They've got their move up scenarios. Like this is where I think this GM has done a really good job, is draft prep and acquiring young talent and stocking this team up. And if he has another draft like he did last year, and man, this team is set up with an incredible window. It's insane to think that with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, the Packers only won two Super Bowls, and you could see this team, and obviously I'm you know, getting way out of whack here. I'm you know, jumping way ahead, but you could end up seeing this team outdo all of those amazing teams throughout all these last few decades with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks at the helm that gave you a chance to do it every year.
No, I hope you're right. That would be great. If this year's draft matches last year's draft, yeah, look out.
Yeah, the Packers are going to be really good. Packers are going to be really good because they're going to have a lot of young talent that's on very manageable contracts. They're going to be able to plug holes with free agents wherever they want to, and really spend some money with the cap going up and everything else like it does. They'll get out of that cap hell and some of those, you know, bad contracts that ended up biting them with injuries and stuff like that. Rodgers, Bakhtiari, and all that other money that's going to come off.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good news.
Pay low.
They'll pay Love, of course, but it'll still be a good news scenario for Green Bay overall because of how they've gotten everything laid out and everything put together. Well, we know now, so you know, the only thing left to do is watch the draft and see what ends up happening. Now we know what's up at Packer Report, and then next week we'll have we'll be doing a recap of the draft looking forward to seeing what the Packers do and all that other kind of stuff. I would imagine you can probably expect a Quick Slants podcast, given that there's going to be draft picks and a bunch of stuff to review and break down and talk about this weekend. So check that out over at Game On Wisconsin. And then what is after the draft, Mark? What is the first piece that goes up for you over at Packer Report then?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't thought that far for you.
Okay.
We'll probably, depending on who they draft and what positions, that's where I'll get my stories from. Like, you know, what does this mean for this guy? What does this mean for that? And then I'll take an overall look at what the roster looks like now. I'll do a story, something like that, you know, where these guys fit, whoever they, you know, of the 11, if they pick 11 or more or whatever, you know, how they fit in what roles and who's in trouble now because of the guys that they took, you know? Everything the next month of stories will be based off what they do tonight and tomorrow night and Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Very good. Well, enjoy the draft, everybody. Once again, it's the 2024 NFL draft. The day is here. It's when we've waited months and months and months, mock draft after mock draft, and all the conversations and all that kind of stuff have happened. And now we're only just a few hours away. So enjoy the day. Enjoy the evening. Take it for what it is. It's, you know, the Packers are going to be fine either way. I don't think anything's going to fall apart based on what they do, but you know, embrace it and enjoy the chaos. And we'll be back at it again next week. We're the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day podcast. Everybody enjoy the weekend and everything else that comes with it. And we'll be back with you again next week. As always, go Pack, go.